President Bush wants to use military tribunals to try suspected terrorists. Such proceedings were used following the Civil War in the 19th century and after both world wars in the 20th. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports on one such tribunal in the post-World War II Pacific.
In war, as in life, there are cautionary tales, and this is one of them. Steve Ives is a 77-year-old retired lawyer who's had a good life, but he's always been haunted by something that happened to him at the end of World War II when he was a 21-year-old first lieutenant. Ives' job was to track Japanese movements and communications for G2, the intelligence unit. And so after the Japanese surrendered, he was horrified to see Japan's most important general, Tomoyuki Yamashita, put on trial before a military tribunal for crimes that Ives knew Yamashita had not committed. The young officer went immediately to his commander.
I said, look, I don't think Yamashita's guilty of any of the things of which he's being charged, and I know more about, perhaps, than anybody else in this world about how the Japanese behaved and where they were and so forth during this campaign. And I would like to go down and volunteer my help to the defense team. And he told me that, number one, the case is over. He's going to be convicted, full stop. You can't do a blessed thing about it, and you may get yourself in trouble. I didn't go, but it's been on my conscience, frankly, ever since.
So how could Ives have been so sure Yamashita was not guilty of the terrible war crimes he was charged with? Because as an intelligence officer, Ives had been tracking Yamashita and knew where he was and what he was responsible for. In Manila, where there had indeed been the goriest sorts of atrocities, Ives says that Yamashita and his men were nowhere to be seen.
He had ordered all of the Japanese forces in Manila out. All the army troops got out. The naval units refused, and the Navy said, to hell with you, we're not going out. Now, most of the atrocities for which he was tried were committed by naval troops in Manila who had refused to get out of Manila, despite his order.
The second set of atrocities were in the province of Batangas, but according to Ives, when those atrocities occurred, Yamashita was 150 miles away with the bulk of his men and cut off from communicating with the stragglers left in Batangas.
They were straggling, isolated units who committed these, and he had no communication with them.
Ives says he was plagued by his failure to come forward until he read a 1999 novel by James Webb entitled The Emperor's General, based on the Yamashita trial. Webb is no soft-headed liberal. He's a Marine veteran, decorated for his service in Vietnam, who later served as Secretary of the Navy in the Reagan administration. As it turns out, Webb had been ruminating for more than a decade about the Yamashita trial and the man who spearheaded it, General Douglas MacArthur.
I don't think anyone other than MacArthur could have done the job that he did in post-war Japan. At the same time, I have a tremendous amount of respect for General Yamashita. I think he was Japan's finest battlefield commander. And so I started asking myself, why? Why did this one great man destroy another great man?
The answer, according to Webb, was part MacArthur's ego, part his fury at the rape of Manila, and part the deal MacArthur made with the emperor.
MacArthur had made a guarantee to the imperial family that he would not hold any member of the imperial family responsible in this period after World War II, and the emperor's uncle had, by all accounts, been quite involved in the rape of Nanking. He was a division commander actually inside the city during the period where the brutalities occurred. And if you combine that with the notion that the Western media and our allies during the war wanted some accountability for war crimes, a quick conviction of Yamashita helped throw meat to the sharks.
Later war crimes tribunals in Japan and the Nuremberg trials were conducted with a fair amount of due process. Indeed, some defendants were acquitted or got lesser sentences because they could not be tied directly to war crimes. But Yamashita was tried early, using a variety of legal loopholes, before all those due process guarantees were set up. Former Navy Secretary Webb suggests that MacArthur didn't want a real trial for Yamashita back in Tokyo because it would have focused on the fact that the Japanese general had often bested MacArthur.
MacArthur very much wanted Yamashita humiliated. There's just no question about this. And the people who made up the court were all military officers, none of whom were lawyers, the so-called judge was simply a three-star general who had spent the war in the United States. There were no normal rules of law in terms of how to weigh the evidence.
Indeed, the defense team was given no opportunity to examine much of the evidence against Yamashita. His U.S.-appointed lawyers were given 3 weeks to prepare their case. And on the Friday before the Monday opening of trial, the court permitted the prosecutors to add 59 new specifications to the 64 filed only 3 weeks earlier, but with no time extension to allow the defense lawyers to investigate the new charges at all. When the trial convened, the judges initially refused to allow the admission of affidavits as evidence because affidavits could not be cross-examined. But the court quickly reversed itself and allowed them. And yet, as Steve Ives puts it, even with all that, there was almost nothing to tie Yamashita to the atrocities.
One British reporter who's writing about 2 days of the trial said, in 2 days of hearing, Yamashita's name came up once. That's all. And he was sort of not there as far as the evidence was concerned.
Yamashita was convicted and appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. By a vote of 6-2, the court upheld the conviction, saying it simply did not have jurisdiction to review the matter at all, regardless of the guilt or innocence of the defendant or the wisdom of basing a conviction on evidence such as in this case. As soon as General MacArthur was notified of the decision, he ordered Yamashita hanged. Ives, who commends the Nuremberg trials as models of what war crimes trials should be, believes the Yamashita trial was a travesty. Somebody, he says, was guilty of those atrocities, but not Yamashita.
These were individual atrocities, and I don't know of anyone who was tried on the theory that you're in command, you're responsible. General Westmoreland would be a criminal for failing to supervise William Calley at My Lai. And if you put it in American terms like that, it seems to me it becomes clear.
Former Navy Secretary Webb says the Yamashita story is an important one to remember in these times. He is a strong supporter of the idea of military tribunals to try members of al-Qaeda. But he adds,
we are a country that believes in fairness, and I like to believe that that notion of fairness will go into the tribunals that will be held in the future. We should remember that we have a requirement to be fair even as we bring people to justice.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.